Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
First, and just warning you, this guys with AG backgrounds don't do handhelds well. We like to wave our hands and, you know, get wild, and so bear with me. I'm going to be a little more composed today, I suppose, but... Well, hey, with the year end, just one more week left until 2022. Does that feel weird to anyone else other than me? It feels crazy that the year's just flown by. And so I want to do two things. The second thing will take up 90% of our time together. First, I want to look back, and then I want to look forward to 2022. But there's always it's so important. We should always have time to look back and celebrate the things that God does. Certainly look forward and see and anticipate what God is going to do, but I think we do a disjustice to the works of God if we don't look back and celebrate. And so I want to do that briefly this morning before we begin to look forward and look into 2022 just around the corner. I want to celebrate a few things that we have seen in our church that God has just blessed us and used us as Emmanuel Baptist Church in 2021. It's been a hard year with a lot going on politically and even just with COVID, a lot of different things, strife in the nation, and yet still God is blessing this church left and right. And that is something worth looking at for a second. So I'm going to read through a bunch of different things that maybe just to jog your memory, because maybe you've forgotten over the months, different things that have happened. We have seen 15 new members come in to our church and join membership just in the last 12 months, and we're anticipating around 10 more in the next month. And so that's just been incredible. 15 new members, 3 babies this year, obviously with Judah and Riggins and now Cohen Clark. And so 3 babies born this year. We've had a baptism, a baby's dedication. We have a new pastor on staff and his soon-to-be bride. Gotten back into normalcy. This one might be the most exciting. We had our first potluck in a long time, right? No, sorry. We got back into normalcy somewhat with that. We've looked at a lot of scripture together. I just went back and looked at all the different studies we've done through different books of the Bible and different themes that we've done, both in Sunday morning and in Sunday evening services. And so let me read that off and just celebrate how much we have soaked up God's Word together in the last 365 days. We have went verse by verse through the book of Colossians, verse by verse through the book of Philemon. We did 20 weeks through the book of Exodus, 15 different psalms we've looked at, verse by verse. We did over 10 weeks in the book of Mark. We've studied a lot of topics. We've looked at church health. I think there was 10, 11 weeks on what it means to be a healthy church. We talked about worship, how to personally worship and worship with others, and what heavenly worship will look like. We did 3 weeks on that. We talked about heroes of the faith, different individuals, and just looking at their life through Scripture. And we talked most recently about pain and suffering out of John 11, right? We've looked at a lot of topics, a lot of verses, and just soaked it up as a body. And of course, record-breaking amounts given to missions. And that is just absolutely incredible. We've talked about Lottie Moon already. But let me rewind a little bit and look at our Annie Armstrong Easter offering in April. We had a goal of $3,500 to give to Annie Armstrong. $3,500. We doubled it. We gave $7,000. I don't know if you forgot that, but we doubled that. And then now, coming into Lottie Moon, we had a goal that I'm not sure we've ever had so big before, $7,000, and we hit that, and we almost went $4,000 over that. And that's not just to pat ourselves on the back. That's not why I'm saying this. I'm going back and saying this because that's a sign God is blessing our church. He's using our church, and not just locally, but internationally, all around the world. He's using you, and I just want to encourage you with that. He's using you in powerful ways so that souls would be won to Christ an eternity changed for those people, in part because of you. And so that's worth celebrating and thanking God for. Not only did we give to Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon, but giving to many local families in the holiday season. We adopted with the adoptive family. We gave Christmas gifts to 14 different families. 14 families woke up and celebrated Christmas, allowing kiddos to open up presents because of your generosity and love for the community. That's amazing. 14 families. And then our Christmas meal boxes, we gave food to 13 families, and I think over $1,200 cash to where we could just bless them monetarily and then have leftover gift cards to where anyone this coming year that needs food and assistance, we can give them Hy-Vee and Walmart gift cards. I mean, that is just loving our community. And so again, not a pat on the back, praising God for what he's doing through Emmanuel Baptist Church. Isn't that amazing? That's just 2021. And so looking back, thank God. And now I want to turn and look towards 2022 and anticipate just as great of things. I'm praying that we will see just as exciting things in 2022. But you know what I'm praying even more for? More than just, you know, record-breaking, monetary giving, you know. More than anything, I'm praying that we would simply love God more as a church. That we would just love God more, whatever that looks like, whatever that looks like, practically speaking, I don't care really. I just care that we would love him more. We would just love him and cherish and treasure him more. And so just imagine with me for a second what it would look like for you to love God more than you did yesterday and this last year. What would that look like practically in your life? Parents, what would that look like in parenting your kid if you loved and cherished your God more than you did last year? How would parenting change in the coming year? Grandparents, same question. Spouses, what would it look like, your relationship with your spouse, if you really loved God more this coming year than you did last year? It's a challenge all of us should consider, and I just named off a few things, but that's for everyone. What would your life look like? What would the relationships in our lives look like if we loved God more? And that's my prayer. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, my theory is that if we see how much God loves you, you will love him more. Really, if you just meditate on and think about and just daydream about and just see in his word the love that he has for you and for humanity and for his church, if you just dwell on that, something will stir within you that you will love him more. But it starts in seeing how much he loves us. I get that, not just randomly, just kind of Isaac's thoughts. You don't need that. You need something much better than my thoughts. You need scripture. And I think that's really rooted in scripture. Let me read out of Ephesians chapter 3. This is kind of the baseline of my thesis, if you will, that when you see God's love for you, the more you see it, the more you'll love him. I think that's really found in Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. He prays verses 14 through 19. But specifically verses 18 and 19, when I get there, I just want to stop and acknowledge. I'll let you know, this is the part I'm really talking about here. But this is Paul's prayer. Let me read it. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. He says, "For this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, that he would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ would dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love," here it is, this is his prayer, "that you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's a beautiful prayer, first of all, but I really want to focus on the last two verses there, where he's praying that they would be strengthened to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of what? The love of Christ, which surpasses understanding. That's an interesting prayer. That you would know the unknowable love of God. That you would study the incomprehensible love, the vastness of it, the breadth of it, the length of it, the depth of it. When you would just study and know the love of God, what happens? Paul prays that when you do that, you'd be filled with the fullness of God. And I think those that are filled with God, those who have God dwelling within them, are those that love God. And so my thesis is, when you study how much God loves you, it'll make you love Him that much more. There is a correlation to seeing God's love and therefore loving God. Seeing God's love and therefore loving God. And so this is the plan that I have for the rest of our time together, that we would see in Scripture the love of God. Like somebody would pick up a stone and turn it and see every side, every which side, front and back, forward, and just seeing every face of the stone. I want to do that with God's love in Scripture. Okay, I want to pick it up, and I just want to look at it and examine it and really just look at the details and what does Scripture say about God's love. And my goal is that those who love Him in this room today would love Him so much more because of it. That if you love God after our time examining His love, you would love Him more. And if you don't love God yet, my prayer for you is that as you turn over and look at God's love, that you'd be filled with the fullness of God and you'd begin to love Him. You'd begin to love Him because you are so amazed by how much He loves you. So that's our plan together. That's our plan today together. What is God's love like? We'll be looking at a few different things. Firstly, I want to look at who does God love? Who does He love? How does He show that love to them? And then how far does it really go? Right? Because we got to study the length and the breadth and the width of God's love. And so who does He love? How does He show His love to those individuals? And then how far does that love really go? Okay, that's our time together. And as we examine, I pray that your love for God would just begin to stir more and more, because it's like, man, God just loves me so much. That's my desire today, that you'd see that in Scripture. So firstly, who does God love? Who does He love? And I think this is kind of like an onion. There's layers to it. You would think it's just an easy answer. God loves everyone. God loves the world. And that's it. Let's just move on. But I think we would be doing a disservice to the Word of God if we just simplify it into one little sentence like that. It talks a lot about it. It's a 66-book love letter. So there's a lot to say about His love for people. So let's not just summarize it with one word. It's kind of like an onion. There's layers to it. There's layers to His love for people. So the first layer is that He loves all creation. He loves all creation. And Sarah, during her children's time, already mentioned John 3:16 and was quoted amazingly, I might add. For God so loved the world, creation, that He gave His only Son. That's how much He loved the world. That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So can we just look at this first layer of the onion first? And can I just say to everybody in this room, you were created and you were designed by God Himself. You have His image stamped upon you. Did you know that you are an image bearer of the Creator God? And you are loved by Him. There's nothing that you can do or that you ever will do or ever have done that will take that kind of love away from you. You will always be an image bearer of God. You will always be His creation. You will always be designed by, and therefore you will always be loved by Him. But let's pull back the onion a little bit more. There's actually a special love that He has for His people, for Christians, for the church, a special love for the remnant, if you will. We see this in the Old Testament. A special love is for what nation? Israel. A special love for them. We can see that in Deuteronomy chapter 7. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord has set his love on you and chose you. There was a special love. You were the fewest of all the people. It's because God loves you. It wasn't that they earned it. It wasn't that they did anything to deserve it. It wasn't anything special about them. They were small, few, and they were enslaved to start off with in Egypt. And yet, they were special to God. There's layers to this onion that is called God's love. So he loves the whole world, but he has a special love, a particular love for his people. In the Old Testament, it was Israel. We can see this special love for Christians, for the church today. Ephesians 5, verse 25, and we can look at a lot of different scriptures, but Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved, not the world. No. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved specifically, particularly his church, his bride. And he gave himself up for her. So Christians, can I just say to you today, specifically you, Christians, you are especially loved. You are his child. You're loved by God in a special way. So that means we have to stop for a second, because you know where that's going. Does that mean then that there are some who are not loved in this special way? Actually, yes. You receive a special love when you put your faith in Christ. You become a child of God. Now you are a part of Christ's family, and you are his bride, and he loves his bride in a special way. So yes, actually, that would mean that those who aren't in Christ aren't loved in that special way yet until they are stepped into that family. And it's not, if we look at Scripture in the biblical language, it isn't that he loves his bride in a special way and indifference over there with that group of people. That would be a whole lot easier to preach, actually. But that's not biblical language. Biblical language would say that he loves his church in a special way. And then when you talk about those who don't have their faith in Christ, it actually uses more intense words. It says he even feels hate. And that's uncomfortable, isn't it? Psalm 5. If you look at Psalm 5, and there's actually so many psalms, I was going to look at 5 or 6 of them, and I was like, maybe I'm just really beating the point too much there. Let's just look at the one. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate, not indifferent, not wishy-washy on your feelings, not really sure how you feel about, no. You hate all evildoers. That's in Scripture. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. So he has love for all creation. He has a special love for his church. And those who aren't a part of the church, there's a sense in which he abhors and hates. You know, have you ever looked up, is this a phrase in the Bible kind of quiz, and you read all these different statements, and you're like, is that in the Bible? Maybe, you know, God rewards those who reward themselves, and you're like, no, I don't think so, right? You've ever seen that where you just try to decide, is this a song or is this scripture or is this nothing at all? You know, one that I think could easily be thrown into scripture and we'd be like, yep, that's scripture. God hates the sin and loves the sinner. I see he abhors. So we have to do something with that. It's not the sin that God has wrath on. It's the sinner. It's not the sin that would be sent to hell. It's the sinner. The reality is that we are not victims to our sin. We are the doers of our sin, and we are the lovers of our sin until Christ does a work in our heart. We are married to, infatuated with our sin. It's not the sin that's the bad part in me, and I'm just a really great chipper guy. If you just rip that thing out of me. No, it's me. I am a sinner outside of Christ. And I need Christ to bring me in to the special love of God. But until that happens, let's not lie to ourselves and be unhelpful to our neighbor who does not know Christ and just simply say, oh, God loves you. God's love is much more complex than that. He does love his creation, but he has very deep feelings about those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ. I want to give an encouragement to those who are not walking with Christ today. I'm not trying to just beat you over the head and you're like, I'm never coming back there. Let me just encourage you. When you become his child, through faith, he has a new special love for you. You are in the family of God. Think about Sarah. I've overheard Sarah talk a lot to other moms about this new love that she has for Judah that she never had 9 months ago, right? Where she just looks at Judah and she's like, oh, I love babies. Babies are so cute. And I just love playing with kids and I love them. But I got to be honest, there's something special about Judah. You know, I've heard her talking with Lena, and Lena's like, I totally agree. Sarah's like, I love Riggins, he's amazing, but it's like, Judah, he's my boy. And Lena's like, absolutely, I feel the same way, vice versa. Sarah loves all babies, but she has a special love for her child. And I think that's a good representation of God's love for his children. So I pray that if you have not already, I pray that you would choose to receive God's special love today. To step into the family of God. To be seen as his child. I like this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, the salvation of a single soul is more important than the production or preservation of all the literary masterpieces in the world. One. And we see that, right? In Luke 15 with the story of the lost sheep. One sheep is greater than everything else in the world. So still, the special love, particular love of God, some might still say, well, that's just rude. That's exclusive. It's discriminating and it's discouraging. It's not helpful. To that, I would simply say, well, this is the Bible. That might be blunt and rude, and you'd say the same things about that. But this is the Bible. It's the truth that God gives. And can I say, he knows better than you and I know. So first off, it's the truth. But secondly, I would actually disagree. This is not discouraging. The particular and special love of God, hear me, is so encouraging. You're not just another number of creation. When you're in his family, you are a specific individual that he particularly has love for. That's not discouraging. When I'm preaching to you to say, join the family of God, I'm saying join into the special love that God has and he offers. That's not discouraging. That's an encouragement. Christian, you are loved in a special way. You are treasured and you are precious. This makes us all the more thankful and appreciative. Quite frankly, we're honored that God would have such a special love. Non-Christian, you can receive this special love today, and I just want to keep saying that. It's not fenced off. It's made known to everyone. If you receive it, you are a child of God. So this is who he loves. He loves all creation, but he has a special love for his people. So how does he show his love for Christians? Well, this is the gospel narrative. This is the gospel story. It starts with the birth of Christ, Christmas, right? God's love was shown when he stepped down and he joined us. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. His son stepped down from perfection, from heaven, to join us in depravity and sinfulness. He walked among sinners, though he wasn't. He rubbed shoulders with sinners in the name of love That's what we're celebrating in Christmas. But not only was he born in love, but he died in love. Christ died in love for you, Romans 5:8. Christian, soak this up. God showed his love for you, for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's his love that not only was he born and stepped down, but he died. And not only died, but he gave you new life in his love. Ephesians 2:4-5 says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great, what? Love. Because of his great love with which he loves us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He stepped down in love. He died in love. He made you alive in love. And I've already mentioned it. He makes you his child in the name of love. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given us. See what kind of love the Father has given us. That we should be called children of God. You don't deserve to be God's child. I don't deserve to be God's child. I do not deserve to be in the family of God. But it is his love and his mercy that he would say, you can be my child. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. And again, this is made known to all. The hope to be a child of God, loved by God in that special way, is made known to all. This is how he loves, in a special way, Christians. And so, we have to ask the last question, well, okay, how far does this love really go? How much will he really put up with me, though? He might let me into the family one day and excommunicate me the next day. How far does he really love his children? I think we ask that because we impose onto God a characteristic about ourselves, that our love is conditional. That your love, let's be honest, and my love is conditional. As much as we don't want to say it is, it is. And the way that people act, the things that people do eventually affect the way that we think about them and feel towards them. That's not right. But it's human nature. I took somebody out to lunch. It was 2 weeks ago. Childhood friend. Went to high school with me. And got into the drug scene. And I had to sit him down for lunch a couple weeks ago, and I simply said, I need to apologize to you. He's like, what are you talking about? Because ever since we got close again. But there was a time where I walked away from him. We kind of parted ways. He went down one path. I went down another path. And I let the drug use and the path that I wasn't going become a barrier between him and I. I let it impact the way I loved him. And so I took him out to lunch and I said, I need to say, I'm so sorry. He goes, what are you talking about, man? I said, back in high school, I didn't love you the way that I should have loved you. I let your lifestyle choices become a wedge between us. And I thank God that he has given me the chance to reconcile that and show you the love that God has, not the love that humans love with, conditional love. And you didn't deserve that, I'm sorry. And he brushed it off, but I needed to say it because we in our human nature have conditional love, but we can't impose that onto God. Because that is not how God loves. God does not have conditional love for his church. It's unconditional love for his church. So maybe you need to hear this. There is no sin that can overpower the love that God has for you. And let me say it again because I know we hear that and we store it up here, but we almost need to file it down here because we don't believe it down here. We don't feel it down here. We file it up here, but then still we walk out the door, we fall back into our sin and our temptation, and then we start to wonder, man, is God done with me? Like, I just feel like he's just done with me. We got to move that knowledge up here that God's love is not conditional on your lifestyle. God loves. And he calls us out of it. But Christian, you falling into your sin over and over and over does not fluctuate God's love on the fence for you. We need to move that down to our hearts and truly believe it. This is taught in Scripture, Romans 8, verse 37. I think many have heard this before. Love this passage, Romans 8. For I am sure that neither death nor life. Believe this, please, just hear this, soak this up. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angel or any rulers, things present, things to come, no powers, no heights nor depths, anything in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. You heard that. File it down in your heart and believe that. And say with Paul, I am sure that nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's how far his love goes for his church. Again, this is taught in Luke 15. If you know the trilogy of parables, we got the lost sheep. That's how personal his love is. The lost coin. And then the lost son, the prodigal son. That's how far the love of God goes. It's shown. The son rebels, basically, spits in his dad's face, says, I'd rather you be dead, I want your things now. Goes and uses it in godless acts. Comes back hoping and praying that he would just be at least a servant, a slave to his father. And the love of God is shown in how the father responds. He says, no, I'm not taking you back as a slave. You're my son. Neither height nor depth will take that away. No ruler, principality, nothing will take that away. I love you. So maybe you need to hear this. If you're worried about your salvation because your sin, maybe you're ashamed of your past, or you're losing the battle to temptation right now in this season of life. You feel undesirable, unclean, embarrassed. Hear me. God's love is not like our love. Our love is imperfect. His love is not conditional. You cannot out-sin the love of God. That's it. That's how far it goes. You can't out-sin the love of God. Now, what you do with that sentence says a lot about you. Because you can do two things with that sentence. You can read that sentence and say, well, that's just a ticket to keep sinning. Those who don't love God, they'll hear that sentence. And they will abuse his grace and abuse his love. But those who truly love God, they won't want to put that sentence to test. They won't want to abuse that truth. They will simply feel deep comfort, deep gratitude, thankfulness, and love him more because of it. When you know that kind of love, you'll love him more because of it. Pray that you would choose that route rather than the route saying, well,
Let's see if I can really make that thing stand the truth. Because some do that. Some do that. So as we're wrapping up here, and we were just looking at a lot of scripture, a lot of different places in this book where we can see the love of God shown. Who God loves, the whole world, a special love for his people. How he shows that love by dying. First, by being born into a sinful world, by dying, by giving life, making us his children. And that love goes endlessly far. So, Christian, now that I've talked about the love of God, to the best of my abilities, we've picked up that stone, we've looked at it every which way. We've looked at it in depth. You've looked at the love of God that he has for you. And so, Christian, see how much God loves you. Would you love him more in 2022 because of it? The way that you treat people, the way that you use your time, the way that you use your money. Love God more because you are more aware that God, for the love that God has for you. Few ways that we could do that. Not the only two ways. Firstly, you could, I think should, get deeply involved in the church. That's how you love God. That's how you love Christ. Is by being deeply involved in the church, his bride. Serving in the church, being active in the church, going far beyond just attending the church. But if that's where you're at, where you're only spotty in your attendance, start there. Love your God more by being actively attending his church. Since the church is Christ's bride, we love him more by serving his bride. So if you attend just sometimes, can I just encourage you and just say, love God more this year. If it's not this church home, that's okay. Find a church home, wherever it's at, a biblical one, and serve Christ's bride in 2022. That's how you can love God more. But then also just in personal holiness, striving to live a holy life for God. We love God by killing our sin and embracing obedience. It's in 1 John 5. I won't read it now, but you can go there. 1 John chapter 5, and it talks about how in love for God, we kill our sin. So do you have sin to kill as an act of love for God today? We all do. Would you just start today and praying through that, thinking through that, maybe even just spending time at the altar, just saying, God, I want to kill this sin today because I love you so much, because I see how much you love me. Help me kill this sin in the name of love for you. I'd love to pray with you about that here in just a few minutes. If you're not walking with Jesus, would you see the love of God that he has for all of creation, but specifically for his church, for those who put their faith in him? And I would plead with you, do not miss out on receiving that kind of love today. Join me at the altar if you want to give your heart to Christ. Be joined in his family and become a child of God. I would love to talk with you about that, pray with you about that, start that journey with you on that, because God loves you. He would even leave the 99 sheep to go find the one. Let me pray. God, I thank you for today. Thank you for this morning, for thinking about, meditating on your love. God, would this love that we see in your word empower us to love you more in 2022, in our personal lives and as a church. God, if there's anyone in this room that has not given their life to you, to serve you and to love you, with the message that they just heard about how much God loves, would that spark something within them? Would it stir something within them to say, wow, God loves that much? Unconditionally? I've never heard of such a thing. God, would you draw them to you today to start for the rest of their lives being a child of God? We pray that right now. And if there's anyone here right now, God, I just pray that if they need to come to the front, I pray that you would draw them to do that, to pray with one of the individuals up here, to talk with them, spend some time at the altar. Be with us now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.